The word today is Samaritan. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Jesus used many stories with colorful characters, some wicked and others righteous. The persons in Jesus' parables are usually symbolic, clearly signifying good or evil. Here to consider one of Jesus' most famous parables is Bible scholar Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Samaritan.
Today we take a look at a parable or a story that Jesus told that's in Luke chapter 10. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. This is one of the most well-known stories of Jesus. Even many people who don't make a habit of reading the Bible have heard of it. It's about a man who went down to Jericho on a road and was confronted by robbers who beat him and left him for dead. And three individuals passed along the same route. Two of them were religious. One was a priest. Another was a Pharisee, I believe. And both of them happened to leave the man. And so then a Samaritan comes along and tends to the man's needs and gives him a ride to a hotel of some sort, an inn, and then he also pays for the man's convalescence, for his recovery. So this is extreme generosity and taking on of risk of this Samaritan to befriend this stranger. And Jesus tells this story couched in the context of a person asking what they need to do to inherit eternal life. When the individual says that they've pretty well kept the law of God, which is a fairly arrogant response, but when Jesus hears this, he then, in order to demonstrate whom this individual should show kindness and love to, tells the story of the Good Samaritan. It's kind of interesting that in Jesus' stories, characters are portrayed very clearly, very cleanly as either being good or bad. And you get to a conclusion very simply that a person, oh, that's a bad person, or that's a good person. In fact, there's kind of a sense of judgment of these individuals, how God sees them in an ultimate sense, that an individual is wicked or a person is good. And this carries through in stories such as the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man seems ending up in hell because of his greed and his selfishness and his inability to see lovingly the needs of others and act on it. Lazarus, meanwhile, it says, did not receive his good things in this life and instead would receive them in heaven. There are the wise and foolish virgins, the young girls waiting for the wedding banquet, five of whom have enough oil for their lamps to wait for the bridegroom to come, and five of whom who do not. And they're just categorized as wise or foolish. Well, the reason this is so stark of a description is because these are stories about spiritual character, about the fact that eternal things hang in the balance. And so once again is the story of the Good Samaritan, individuals who fail to show God's love and mercy, or the one individual who, contrasting this, shows the pity and the compassion of God. In other words, he gets it when it comes to being God's representative. Now, this road to Jericho is an interesting thing, because it was a rough road. It was visited by robbers. It was in a more wilderness, desert area. I've been on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's a very steep, difficult climb for walkers, and it would be very remote, so it would provide the perfect location for road robbers to come along and to ambush people, because there's a very winding path that takes a person down, and they could come around a corner and be confronted by people wishing them ill intent. And so this guy goes down the road to Jericho. It seems like he's alone. We don't know if he's traveling in the morning, afternoon, nighttime. We don't know why he is on the road. And in fact, this is not even addressed in the story of Jesus. That's very interesting point, because sometimes when we run into people that need help, we are tempted to judge them and to say, well, they made their bed, now they have to sleep in it, or that was really foolish on their part, they're just getting what they deserve. I'm sure someone might have been tempted to say, well, why was the guy on the road to Jericho in the first place without going with other people? Or why was he traveling at that time of day? You know, Jesus doesn't judge the man's situation. It's simply a case that presents itself as someone in need. And that's a good principle for us to understand, too. There are so many times when we would like to excuse ourselves from being compassionate and merciful by looking at the circumstances under which this individual got into trouble or in need. It's a good reminder of the parable of the Good Samaritan that it's not really our ultimate responsibility to judge this person's consequences. More so, it's our responsibility to show the love of God and to help individuals that obviously need it. There is an interesting thing going on here with these two people that pass by on the other side of the road. There is a priest, and then there's a Levite. I think I previously referenced that wrong, but it was a Levite who was the second man. Both of these individuals were from the priestly clan, and there's more at work here than just callous indifference. This is oftentimes not understood. And in fact, individuals who are faithless or who like to show the hypocrisy, supposedly, of believers reference things like this, and they say, see, look at these religious types. They didn't even give a hand. And then they try to extend that somehow to make Christians today look bad. Individuals that try such things are absolutely clueless about the Bible. And in the end, they show themselves to be having a really, really poor understanding of faith and of believers. Really, what's going on here is that the priest and Levite were also constrained by the law of God, which called for purity. They weren't to contaminate themselves. And one of the things that they weren't supposed to be contaminated with was dead bodies. It's entirely possible, especially if this was at nighttime, that these two did not want to go near a dead body, assuming that this person was dead. They would find themselves in kind of a double bind. They know they should help someone if they're in need, but on the other hand, they're supposed to avoid the dead body in order to retain ceremonial cleanness, as it was described in the law of God. So it's not just a simple case of these two being indifferent to the needs of the man. Were they wrong not to help? Well, in the end, it seems so. Jesus shows that the Samaritan is willing to get his hands full of blood, so to speak, to bind up the man, to expend his money. And that's really the key theme about this parable, is that there is a stress, there is a demand for believers in Christ and for people who love God that we retain our purity, our cleanness, so to speak. We don't want to get wrapped up in the evil of the world. We want to stay sober. We want to stay clean. We want to honor Jesus. And sometimes we're afraid that we're going to get sucked into something that's not good. Well, in the end, pity is more important than purity, in a sense. mercy is more important than maintaining your distance and your holiness, so to speak. Another way to put it is that love always trumps legality. So Jesus demonstrates this himself. He shows individuals that he is willing to be so-called in touch with the contaminated, sinful world. Look at how he defends the woman who had fallen into sin against her accusers of adultery. But then he tells her, go and leave your life of sin. He's willing to touch lepers and to heal them and the blind. And he is willing to get involved with sinners in order to bring the forgiveness, the healing, the mercy of God. This is in line with the Old Testament prophets who said of the Lord, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Not meaning that God's not interested in our offerings, but that he wants us ultimately to be compassionate. In Micah, God said that the goal was to seek justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Well, this is what Jesus is demonstrating with the parable of the Good Samaritan. And notice the fantastic generosity, the same generosity that God has shown you in Jesus Christ. God has forgiven your sins. He has brought you the gift of eternal life. He's adopted you as his child. You were like the wounded person on the road, and God has picked you up and bound you up and forgiven you and restored you, all free of charge, like the Good Samaritan. No wonder that this story exists to teach us that it's not just good enough to emulate Jesus by being good and keeping to ourselves, but that we need to do good to others, to express the same compassion and mercy and tenderness that God has shown us. Oh, please be a person with a soft heart, tender and compassionate, as God has been toward you in Jesus.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the free booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Spirit. The birth of the church was a miraculous event when God sent the Holy Spirit to those first disciples, and their lives were changed forever. That same life-changing power is available today to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.